The time is almost up. Thanks for listening to Big Band Broadway and Beyond. God bless, and if anybody asks, tell them Joe sent you.
Must we let it end? And where go the echoes of our laughter ringing the air? Oh, wherever the time goes, I will see you there. I will see you.
This is WHFR Dearborn, and now it's time for our public affairs show, and we call it the new WHFR Journal. Hello and welcome to another edition of the new WHFR Journal. My name is Jay Koronek. I'm host of the show along with Kevin, our WHFR news director, and we have two very special guests in the studio. But Kevin, why don't you tell us the reason why they're here?
Well, they're here to discuss the Going Green with Maureen and the upcoming homecoming at Dearborn next weekend at the Ford Field. And the Going Green initiatives that everybody can participate in.
Yeah, there's a special event that's happening. In fact, there's special events all Dearborn Homecoming weekend on different days. By the way, there's not going to be an Elderfest, but seniors are welcome anytime, which I think is a great thing. You're welcome all weekend, not just Friday morning, and then you got to leave. So, there's reason for that. There will be an Elderfest in September, I understand. So any of those free breakfast activities that you might think you're missing, if you're of that certain age, is going to come back at you and be available maybe in September. But for Dearborn Homecoming next weekend, and I should say at the outset, yes, this show is going to be broadcasting live from Dearborn Homecoming. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Technology or weather and or weather permitting, of course. It's always fun to sit out there in the sun and the dust and whatever is there. But we've been able to broadcast live from there for this show for more than a dozen years. And then, of course, we do reports a couple times an hour, 10 hours a day, all 3 days, because we don't want anybody to miss anything. So we'll certainly tell them about the Green Living Alternatives event that's going to be, as they say, top of the hill. That is the Ford Field Park runs up to the northern border is Cherry Hill Road. And so we have the one, I'm sure there's several people that have coordinated and put this together, but the prime coordinator has been the host of the Dearborn Cable TV show entitled Going Green with Maureen. Guess what her name is? Yeah, that's right. It's Maureen.
Wait for it.
Okay, I'm not. Yeah, I don't want to break.
I'm a big rhymer.
Yeah, Maureen McElrath, and she is here in the studio with us, along with a collaborator, Scott Galloway, and they're both part of the Going Green Foundation, which is the key organization that's behind this special event. It's going to be next Saturday, August 4th, from 1 to 4 p.m., and it's going to have quite a few participants. It's going to be, again, as we say in Dearborn, at the top of the hill. That is the hill on the north side of Ford Field Park, which is just south of Cherry Hill
I
Road.
I tell people, you know, where you go sledding.
Yeah, that's where we know, okay. The hill where we go sledding.
Yeah, but you're not going sledding during this event. You're going to stay at the top. Yeah, so don't bring your sleds, folks, because there might be a bunch of blankets on the hill anyway waiting for the fireworks later that day. But so from 1 to 4 p.m., Maureen, you go ahead.
Sean, let Scott talk whenever he waves at me.
Sean, whenever he waves. And tell me about the participants. I assume the whole idea is that we should make choices that are more appropriate for our environment and for our own personal budgets too.
We do. And you know, one of the things that we also want to do is actually, you know, move the entire event into a green event, like Arts Beats and Eats and other people have done, is, you know, basically to reduce some of the waste that we're producing at these events. Everyone loves to come out and have fun. We have about 150,000 people each year. If you can, you know, calculate the waste of that, you know, and they've done a great job with the recycling containers and things like that. Mm-hmm. But what we're trying to do is, one of the big things we're doing this year is we're switching out the beer cups to compostable, and there's thousands and thousands of beer cups used, and so I want to let people know that it doesn't matter if you put them in the compost bin or the garbage bin, they're going to compost down within 3 months. It's wonderful, and we'd love to see, you know, all compostable products at the green event or at the homecoming.
Sure.
But they can't mandate it yet, so we're kind of slowly but surely, you know, moving these ideas into the vendors' heads and hoping that they will, by next year, switch over everything to compostable products. So.
Yeah, compostable is a wonderful thing. It's amazing how long many plastics will last in the environment. I understand the worst problem is baby diapers, most of them are not compostable at all, and we're not talking about what's in the baby diaper after it's used.
Gross too.
Yeah, but that's very biodegradable, let me say. That's very, up close, maybe gross. Up close, gross.
But, I've had a couple kids.
But they say it can last for like 50, 80, 100 years, and it doesn't biodegrade, and the trash keeps building up, and, you know, we've got to keep this environment recycling, pretty soon we'll have more trash than there's room for people, you know. And in fact, the city of Dearborn's area trash dump, wherever it is pretty much filled. So like Republic, I think they're the trash pickup people.
Yep.
I don't know where they're going to take it.
And they're going to be there because one of our issues also that Dearborn is having, the city is having, is that people are actually recycling items that aren't recyclable. So we're kind of going to have them out there going over that information with people. And you know what? If the parents aren't really into the recycling, I'll tell you what, the kids love it. Kids really enjoy. I don't know what it is about the recycling, if it's the sorting or the different things, or just being involved. But, you know, get your children into it if you're not into it, because they'll do it.
I'm sure there's some, besides the Republic waste people having demonstrations and handouts and probably physical examples of things that don't biodegrade. You've got many other people going to be up there from 1 to 4. So tell us about the range
of
arts presenters.
We have Arts and Scraps Out, which is a local company that takes different recycling things, and then they make them available to schools and different children's activities that you can actually make little art things out of the recycled items. We also will have the Adopt a Watt people out there. Mm-hmm. I was really big in working with them last year to change out our light bulbs. We're making a big push here in Dearborn to change out our light bulbs to, you know, better efficiency to save the city some money. We're going to have the University of Michigan Environmental Interpretive Center. We know that they have a lot of wonderful things going on over there. They've got the new mushroom farm that they're doing. They're growing their own mushrooms. We know that they do syrup and honey every year, and that's fantastic.
Yeah, a lot of educational demonstrations and presentations, too, that you can attend with the whole family, as well as, of course, the nature walks. But it's always good if you go on the nature walk to actually know what you're looking at.
Right, and then they have the community organic gardens up there, too. So there's a lot of people in the city that take advantage of that and really enjoy that space up there as well. So they will be out. We have the people from Nifty Hoops coming out. They actually helped me put up my hoop house. They also call them high wind tunnels. They're like large metal structures that you put plastic over that will actually extend your growing season. Now, not everyone's going to put one like my size. It's about 26 feet by 96 feet. Mm. And it's going to allow me to grow throughout the year. And that's something we didn't touch on, is the fact that I kind of got started in all this
Isn't that against Dearborn code somehow?
Oh, nope.
Okay. As long as you don't have a foundation, maybe.
We do have the foundation.
Oh, I don't.
So what happened
I didn't mention it, folks.
Nope, not yet.
No one from the city has heard of this.
Okay. They have heard of this.
Oh, okay.
I'm actually, I went to the city and when they were doing the Adopt-A-Lot thing, where, you know, you as a community could come together and adopt a lot and turn it into a community garden space.
Oh, yeah, right.
Well, in my particular area, which was Crawley Park, they didn't really have a space for me to do that. But somebody came up with a 2.5-acre piece of land that was actually available and that I actually took over and started. The idea was to start a community garden, but we do have community garden spots there. But we actually have crop rows in. We have the hoop house. Mm-hmm. We have an area that's just for the community that's free to them to pick. It's 5 5-foot by 36-foot raised beds that have anything from raspberries, strawberries, tomatoes, chard, kale. I mean, pretty much any kind of herb you want.
I hope one of the papers gets their photographers out there and does a story.
The Dearborn Patch just did.
Good.
The Dearborn Patch
I missed that.
Has been out there
I've been reading a couple times. But I read every day, in fact.
Yeah, and it's wonderful. We have more community garden spots available, and that's because a lot of people could not get into the U of M ones.
Relatively small, and I think maybe no more than a dozen people can get the little areas.
They get it, they don't want to leave it. And so that's
squatter's
the thing.
Rights. Okay.
Right? So I kind of offered, I'm kind of made that available to them, and that's how the whole foundation started, was when I started going out trying to raise funding for this particular project, and, you know, the cost of it is kind of high. I mean, I didn't plan on being a farmer.
So Going Green Foundation is an official nonprofit tax status kind of situation.
Yep.
That's good.
Established in 2009.
Okay. Very good. And is there a website or something for more information?
Yeah, there is.
It's goinggreenfoundation.org, I'm guessing.
Exactly.
Okay. goinggreenfoundation.org. You can find out more information about Maureen McElrath's organization. And Sean Galloway is here. Of course, he's been working. Have you working in that hoop area, Sean? And have you been digging or weeding or anything?
Not yet.
Yeah, I will be participating.
As long as you're sitting here, tell us what you're primarily doing with this organization and this event.
Well, I'm very grateful that Maureen took me on as a board member for the Going Green Foundation. I've been a part of this community my entire life, and grateful to be part of the city initiatives. And I've also volunteered for many years on different boards and different activities. So it's great to be a part of this. I'm excited about it, and I look forward to the event coming up in this next week.
Mm-hmm. By the way, on the website, on our WHFR.FM website, I did say that Dave Norwood, Dearborn Sustainability Coordinator, would be here with us today, and he's off at a green conference somewhere. Couldn't be
San
here today,
Diego
so
or,
but Sean volunteered to come in, you know, it's not just moral support, but everybody really needs to get involved. We don't have chairs for everybody in our WHFR studio, but it's interesting to me that the green conferences are springing up everywhere, and that's kind of a joke, but I mean, it's you know, if it's spring and it's green and it's growing, and that's the way it should be. And then some people say, well, all that green stuff, it's, you know, it's it costs a lot of money and it's losing jobs for us. And excuse me, I don't care if you believe in global warming, although I really do this year myself personally here in Michigan.
Yeah, from our weather.
Or you know, anything having to do with Republicans or Democrats. The whole green movement is in order to get our society in better shape so that there's going to be some transition issues, maybe some extra costs for a little while. But once we get on the right track, we'll be saving money, we'll be energy efficient. And
creating jobs.
Oh, well, of course we create jobs all along the way. They're different jobs, unfortunately, new jobs. Some people can be retrained. We have two great alternative energy programs here at the college, certificate degree programs that can get people started.
You guys are doing really good.
We're one of the few community colleges doing that. And it's just the beginning of what this new direction should be. Probably should have been our direction all along in our society. For too long, we were just, I think, selfish and indulgent and so on, as long as we could be. And now there's just too much trash and waste, and the costs are too high, and we're running out of natural resources.
And we don't have a planet B.
Right.
And part of the other issue is how certain things are being manufactured and made. I mean, it is a risk to our health, and we have to start looking at our health as well. And I think it all kind of ties in together.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, you know, I have people say to me, I know I've got to start doing that. I know, like recycling, I'll talk to them about recycling. Mm-hmm. I know I've got to start. I mean, what do you mean you've got to start? We should have been started years ago. So.
Well, I would like to remind people the three R's of the ecology movement. Ecology Day 1970, and the first is, of course, reduce. Mm-hmm. Is that we don't really need as much stuff that, as we have, which means if we get bored with it or tired of it, we're going to throw it away quick. So we just need the really the essentials. Now, I'm not in favor of people stop buying from local businesses and all of a sudden they go out of business, but I'm saying that we can reduce a lot of non-essential things or switch to buying things that will have a greater longevity or be more cost efficient to use. And of course, automobiles is one of those big questions that we've talked about on our show for a long time. I was on the list for the original Nissan Leaf electric car two years ago. And Mayor O'Reilly said, I'll get you a Ford electric instead. But I couldn't wait 2 years, yeah. You know. And then Nissan said, well, not in Michigan because there's not enough sun or something. Well, of course, it's not true. Knows? Who knows what's going to happen? Now we know the Ford electric is $40,000.
Right.
But there's some government rebates, $6,000-$7,000 or something if you buy one, and you can wait a year to get the rebate.
Wait a few years, see how it goes, and buy one used, too. That's something else that you can do.
And with new batteries, hopefully. And Nissan mm-hmm. Leafs are now being sold in Michigan, as well as hybrids. Ford has got some really energy-saving hybrids, and they're going to finally have plug-in hybrid, which I think is the best idea of short term, I think that's a Fusion. It'll come out in the spring. Although there may be a plug-in hybrid version of the C-Max, which is Ford's new kind of small minivan. It's not really an SUV.
Yeah, I'll tell you. I mean, and I love the ideas of the plug-in and the electric, but I have a hard time remembering to plug in my cell phone. Yeah, how am I going to remember to plug in my car? That's kind of my thing. But I do think that eventually I will go. Right now I am driving a hybrid vehicle, and I'll tell you, I fill up once a month.
You know, a lot of people don't get back to the core issues on these things, and I want to talk to you about your mm-hmm. Cable TV show, too. That's going to be the next episode or the first episode.
Coming hopefully soon. Okay. Yep, I'm waiting. I'm trying to get it all edited.
We'll talk about that because I think that's a great thing to do for a local community. In fact, we're not used to watching good locally produced TV here much. It's always the politicians seem to somehow, the mayor and the councilman. Oh, here's Dearborn with Ted Tofelsky or whoever, And of course, they got to tell their stories, I guess. But it just seems like shameful advertising for them in a way. And of course, we always get the council meetings. Oh, yeah. And those are exciting. sometimes for a minute or two out of 2 or 3 hours. But nonetheless, I think the first point about the car issue is, can you live closer to where you work? Can you get a job closer, or maybe you need to move? But, I've, unlike Sean, I'm a newbie in Dearborn. I only moved here in 1979, and I'm quite old, so I don't have much of a history here, really. But nonetheless, I only live 3 miles from the college here.
Oh, okay.
So,
that's wonderful.
Yeah,
do you bike to the college?
I've got a car. Very often I bike.
Okay,
yeah,
good.
Except
see?
We don't have many bike racks. And we don't have a decent bike path around Fairlane Town Center. I had to come from the east side. West side has got that little path that's got that torturous hill up and down.
Aren't they talking about?
Yes,
they are talking. They are in the works of making a bike path
that
kind of connects for
and,
that.
And what I want is not a recreational meandering path. I want paths that are good for transportation,
mm-hmm.
that are as quick
direct
and safe
routes.
As possible, as direct as possible. How they're going to do that around Fairlane, I don't know. But it's hilariously dangerous. Because still drivers in Michigan, we don't have the signage. We haven't had the educational campaign for them to respect bicyclists. They always think, oh, get off the road. You're riding a bicycle. And it's totally legal on almost every highway except the expressways to ride a bicycle on the right side, as far right as you can get. You don't have to be on the gravel or riding mm-hmm. over the sewer covers, which throws your bike out of control hilariously, but absolutely. So you can bike if you live that close in good weather or in bad weather if you're brave. But living that close is first, and then of course picking the right car makes a big difference. And maybe you can carpool, and maybe there's public transit. I think the bus system is kind of dead in Detroit now, thanks to underfunding. Not enough times, hours, frequency, and so on. That's a resource that we've got to work on. But so your show, what's you said it's in the editing stage.
Yeah, Going
your
Green
your
with
cable
Maureen.
TV show. What's some of the story headlines?
Well, the idea behind the show was kind of like my personal journey. My journey to go green, and then kind of in trying to inspire people, talk to people, see what other people are doing that is green. You know, I've spent some time in Ann Arbor. They're fantastic, and I think that we could definitely use them as an example of some of the ways that they do have lots of bike paths. They're really big into the organic farming now. Uh-huh. Tillian Farms is out there, and they will actually be at the green space.
Okay.
They actually have something called Selma Cafe out there, where they you come in, you get to have like a great organic breakfast, freshly cooked by local chefs. People make donations, and then they use that money to help fund. They have like a 120-acre farm. Hmm. They're teaching people how to farm, because a lot of our farmers now are getting to the age where they're almost to retirement. There's a need for people to start growing foods and being more conscious about foods.
Maybe in a new approach or whatever. I assume you said Selma Cafe?
Selma Cafe. Mm-hmm.
I bet they're a nonprofit too.
They are
guessing.
A nonprofit,
see,
yep.
Makes
exactly.
a lot of sense, folks. If you're doing something good for the society and you qualify for other criteria, then the federal government, state government says you don't have to pay any taxes.
Right.
That. No taxes.
Yeah.
Small business people, think about what you're doing. This is just a, you know, one of those rhetorical questions or little jibes. But if you were doing things that were good for society and you qualified in those several other ways, you wouldn't have to pay any taxes at all. So don't tell me your taxes are too high. Maybe you're not doing enough good for society. By the way, we always need to qualify on this show at least once per hour. All the opinions expressed in this show are not necessarily those of Henry Ford Community College, but we thank them for letting us do this. And it's just a gentle jibe, but I'm just saying, gee, if you're a nonprofit, you don't have to pay taxes, but you have to do certifiable good things for society pretty much all the time. Wow. Wouldn't every business want to be that way? Do you want to be criticized?
Shouldn't every business be?
You're a business person, but you're not doing good things on a consistent basis for society. Gee, why do we need you? Why should we buy anything from you? It's just a question, just crazy
question.
And
that goes back to, we as people have a choice. Where is our money going? What are we going to do with our time? Where are we spending our energy? And what do we want our community to do? You know, when I started getting into all this, I started becoming really more involved in the community. And that's where I learned so much stuff. And that's where I was able then to, you know, find the connections I needed to make certain things happen that I was interested in. And then also finding other people that had the same interests that I did. We've had wonderful sustainability roundtables here in Dearborn. We are actually working with your chef, Eric Gackenbach, here to bring Chef's Moves to School program. That's the foundation is trying to bring that to the Dearborn
another
schools.
Good idea.
We're piling
it,
that at Long Elementary this year, where we'll bring in local chefs and a nutritionist, and we talk about, you know, like how farm-to-table stuff, what can we do? Because there's certain things that I'm even growing that I don't even eat yet, and I need to learn how to enjoy them or like them and get them into my diet for a healthier life.
Is one of your presenters Door-to-Door Organics by any chance?
No, they're not, but right now I can tell you tonight at my house at 7 p.m. we're having our first, we're trying to do a Dearborn food co-op. And it would be an organic food co-op, and it'd be kind of like a door-to-door organic.
Door-to-door Organic is a for-profit franchise.
Yes.
And we just found out about them. They were part of our holistic fair that we do once a year.
Okay.
A lot of spiritual, fresh, clean ideas, and they were one of our vendors here.
Is it Linda?
Don't remember who I talked to here, but yeah, and they're very nice. And so I started it, but every week we try something new. We got to look up the recipes. How do we make kale?
I grow a lot of kale.
K-A-L-E.
You can put it in smoothies. I use
it
in my salads.
How I do it. I mix it in with my whatever smoothie.
Let me tell you, anything you don't know what to do with,
put kale in it.
Grind it up in a smoothie, and then you don't know what it is anyway. And your kids will even drink it as long as there's enough, strawberries and bananas in there.
my daughter, who's a school teacher, a science teacher, by the way, at Southfield Public Schools, I always say this on the show, but I'm very proud of her. She's gotten several grants, including an Adopt-A-Watt grant. She's got a hoop greenhouse. They're getting a green roof on part of the school or all the school, and they just their garden is now certified by National Wildlife Federation
Wonderful.
For being all organic. And the kids, in her seventh and eighth grade classes are helping to manage that. And,
now what
and they're learning
is
a lot. It's Burney Middle School at Southfield, just up Southfield near Evergreen or wherever.
Well, see, other people are doing it. And my the foundation's also working with Fortson High School right now, and we're doing their outdoor courtyard. We're turning it into an outdoor classroom, and we're adding an agri-science course to that. And then we're doing raised bed gardens out there. So, and then they have a whole nother acre that they're willing to develop. So, so it's not just the schools. And I am seeing more and more hospitals get on board with their own. They're starting to realize that there is a connection to our health and what we're putting in our bodies and what we're eating and how we're growing it and the pesticides and the this and the that. So even like St. John's Hospital out in Ann Arbor has their own farm now right on their own site, and they utilize that right in their cafeteria to give to their patients. It's amazing. It's wonderful what's happening.
It's a very exciting development. If 2012 means anything, and hopefully not the end of the world, but maybe it can be the end of this wasteful and unrealistic lifestyles that we've acquired.
Overconsumption.
Yeah, and overconsumption, but and appropriate ways to live that are more healthy and more sustainable.
Sustainable, yeah.
Did I coin that word? I didn't coin it, but it's real big these days. But you know, we've got to keep finding things and ways to relate to one another that encourages that. And you know, plenty of new business, plenty of new possibilities, maybe a lot of new nonprofits too that are all helping this new cause. So hopefully it's like, and somebody said, I think even in the Zodiac, it's like the Age of Aquarius, which they sang about years ago for that musical and Broadway Hair. But still,
a new
concept of ways to relate, and hopefully not so violently and not so wastefully, because killing people is the most wasteful thing we can do. Especially if there's no good reason. And in fact, we've got an editorial coming up in a few moments by Jim Hightower about did I put that one in the queue here or not? It's about the problem of drones, maybe, you know, those things that kill people in Afghanistan from high above in the air, and that coming back to America. And
wonderful.
Yeah, that could sure ruin our organic gardens if they.
It sure could.
There's some like 30,000 licenses that have been applied for to fly them in our country.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I got to get one of those. Yeah, that
sounds like fun. That's crazy. Well, I mean, and this all goes to like, you know, but, fracking and GMOs. I mean, there's so many conversations we could have on this.
Yeah, you stay with what you're closest to and what you're most familiar about. You find your way into this. And some people listening now, I say, oh, so many ideas. I can't grasp all of this. Just pick one.
That's what I say. Just
pick the best one for you. And maybe at the Green Living Alternatives special presentations, special information at Dearborn Homecoming next Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m. Not tomorrow. Next Saturday, August 4th. No, 3rd. Wait a minute.
3, 4, 5.
It is August 4th, yes. That's when they'll be there at the top of the hill of the Ford Field.
And they're also welcome to go. I will also have a booth for the Going Green Foundation. We partnered with Cedar Coney Island, and we'll be doing, and we're trying to make it as organic as possible.
And since she's going to become a famous TV personality because of her show, she'll probably give autographs on her brochure, too. So we've been talking to Maureen McElrath here from the Going Green Foundation, and Going Green with Maureen, new TV show on local cable TV coming up soon. And but I hope everybody can get out there. I hope I can break away from the WHFR broadcast booth long enough to come to those events up there. But certainly tell your exhibitors too, either before or after, if they want to swing by there.
Come talk to
we can
guys.
Do a little brief over the air interview. We usually give people at least 5 minutes. If you come to the studio, you get more time, like you guys just did.
Yeah, well, we appreciated that. And and we would like to mention that we're still going to have, there's more exhibitors, like Yoga for Peace will be out there. Oh. The city of Dearborn will be out there talking about the train station that they're putting in and their, waste to energy that they're looking at doing. Mm-hmm. We're bringing in Goodwill Industries, who, you know, they're coming, and we're all about reducing, reusing, and recycling.
Absolutely.
And that's what Goodwill is about.
Wonderful. Mm-hmm.
We have Chive Talking coming out, and they do T-shirts with very interesting herb sayings on them, like we cumin.
Not like
we
the Bee Gees
saved,
jive
we,
talking.
You know, yeah, exactly.
The pun? Yeah,
but it's very. They're very cute. And then we have the Airbon and doTERRA essential oils will be out there.
Oh my gosh.
The U.S. Green Building Council will be there.
Of course.
We have Jack's Bike Shop, local from Dearborn, mm-hmm. the Dearborn Animal Shelter, Friends of the Rouge, Sierra Club. So there will be clubs out there as well. Of course, Ford, we have to include them in there. The Coalition for Hispanic Associations, Aris Compost, and we have a local artist here who actually takes recycled items and makes lawn and garden art. So he will be out there as well. So I thought that was pretty unique.
Before the show.
About 25 to 30 people.
Yeah, I was just going to say the number is 25, 28, something like that.
Yeah.
Maybe we have a few more. So it'll be worth your time and try to give them the time it requires to visit all these people and talk to them. Next Saturday, August 4th, 1 to 4 p.m., Top of the Hill, Ford Field Park, part of Dearborn Homecoming. Well, it's really great to meet you folks. And
Thank you for having us.
Maureen McElrath and Sean Galloway of the Going Green Foundation and just great local activists. Always love local activists on the show, especially because they're not making a lot of money off this, folks. They are trying to make the world better for us all. And
we've made no money so far.
But
that wasn't the point. The point was to let people know and start the organic farm and actually be able to reduce costs for people, because that's the biggest problem is people don't want to buy organically because there is a higher cost to that. So mm-hmm. if we could grow it locally and we could make it as the same cost as other foods, then it's a no-brainer.
There's
right?
amazing trade-offs from the, like, I've just tried organic tomatoes from Door-to-Door Organics instead of the usual ones I buy, and it seems like I only need one of those guys. They're so much more tasty.
They're much more tasty.
Much more flavorful.
So much
like
more.
You don't have to eat 14 tomatoes to feel like you had a tomato. Oh, it's so luscious. You want to savor it. And guess what? Fewer calories. And
my son will just eat like a sliced tomatoes or sliced cucumbers right from the garden.
There's,
and he loves
amazing
it.
Amazing taste difference between most organic food and the stuff that you see in the stores. And remember, a lot of stuff in the stores might have a brighter color, but it might come from a food dye, too. So
it's
not the real color.
And you don't know how it's grown, and you don't know what pesticides have been used on it, and you don't know what soil it's been grown in. Yeah, there's so much you don't know about it.
Anything that still looks good after coming from Ecuador, there's a suspicion there. You know, any natural food coming real far away, even California, raises doubts in my mind. Keep up the effort, Maureen and Sean, and thanks so much for your time here, and we're going to check back with you, I'm sure, many times in the future.
Well, I hope so.
You're always welcome on this local WHFR
Thank
Journal
you,
show.
And I did want to let people know that they can help us by, we're having a big fundraiser at the Ford Performing Arts Center on November 18th. We're bringing in Season 5 Top 5 comic, Louis Ramey. Actually, it's three headliners that will be performing that night, and tickets are $20 per person, and it's going to be a good time, and you can help us raise some money to continue the farm and some of the other sustainability efforts that we're trying to do here in Dearborn. So great idea.
Send us an email on that, and we'll do some live reads, as they call them, from
the
copy stand in
too.
Front of me. Okay, all right. We need a little humor these days. Thanks so much. We're going to go to Jim Hightower now, and here's that comment. His first one is the one about the intrusive swarm in our skies, and take a listen closely, and more local Dearborn news coming up after that.
Get ready, America, for here comes the next latest and greatest thing in aviation. Wow, what could it be? Maybe the airlines are going to drop all of their ridiculous rip-off fees. That'd be great. No, not that kind of aviation. Also, you probably won't find this breakthrough so great. It's the arrival and proliferation of, quote, unmanned vehicle systems, soon to be buzzing around in the airspace of your own town. Yes, drones, right here at home. Those very same tiny, pilotless, remote-controlled, undetectable planes that the CIA has been secretly using to spy on and bomb people in Pakistan and elsewhere are headed to your and my local police departments, FBI offices, and, well, who knows who else will have these latest and greatest toys? All we know is that Congress, under pressure from Boeing, Northrop Grumman, and other big drone peddlers, directed the Federal Aviation Agency earlier this year to open up civilian airspace to thousands of them by 2015. And in their wisdom, our loosey-goosey lawmakers provided no regulation of who can have drones, how many, or for what purpose. So, prepare to be pestered and monitored, for police agencies and corporate interests are said to be abuzz about getting their own. The first ones are expected to be used for high-altitude surveillance, which is worrisome enough, but a Texas sheriff's office that already has bought a Shadow Hawk drone says it might outfit the little buzzer to fire tear gas and rubber bullets. No worries, though, for the drone industry's lobbying group has drafted a 2-page code of conduct, urging purchasers to, quote, respect the privacy of individuals. This is Jim Hightower saying, but it's a voluntary code and totally unenforceable. For more information, contact the Electronic Privacy Information Center, epic.org.
Hightower's commentaries are brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown, the monthly newsletter with Hightower's populist take on what the powers that be are up to. Find out more at hightowerlowdown.org.
Can it really be a surprise that 4 out of 5 Americans have little to zero trust in big banks? That 62% of us believe corruption is widespread across corporate America? And that 3/4 of us sense that business corruption has increased in the past 3 years? We have these views because we keep having their ugliness thrust in our faces. Even after the scandalous greed that crashed Wall Street 5 years ago, the epidemic of fraud and finagling continues, with Bank of America, Barclays, Citigroup, Goldman Sachs, and J.P. Morgan Chase among the blue-chip names just recently in the news for gross violations of fundamental ethics by their top executives. Yet, not a single one of these felonious profiteers has had to do a perp walk. Add BP, ExxonMobil, the Cayman Island tax dodgers, and the wholesale corporate purchase of our government, and the only wonder is how even 20% of the public can retain any trust in these rapacious outfits. This ethical devolution is not about a few rogues, but about a whole corporate culture of entitlement, thinking they're above the law and common morality. Check out a recent survey of 500 senior financial executives. 125 of them, 1/4, said they thought that engaging in unethical or illegal behavior on the job was sometimes necessary to be successful. 26% said they had firsthand knowledge of executive wrongdoing, and 30% said the way they get paid creates incentives to violate ethical standards and the law. This is Jim Hightower saying the injustice is not just in the crimes, but also in the lack of punishment. If this corporate crime wave consisted of simple street robberies, Washington would declare martial law to deal with it. But even if caught, these muggers get off with a corporate fine. The scandals will keep spreading until someone has the guts to start jailing these culprits.
What do the corporate powers from Wall Street to Walmart have in common? They hate the Hightower Lowdown. You can see why at www.hightowerlowdown.org.
And you know that music. Yes, it's the Highway 61 theme. Highway 61 will be on today from 2 until 6 p.m., hosted by Joanne Kay. And we're looking forward to that. So what did you think about Jim Hightower? This is the quiz time. Hey, I'm a college teacher. You like that new intrusive swarm? You like the idea of unmanned drones flying above you? And like they always say, and it's not true at all, hey, if you're not a terrorist or a criminal, you have nothing to worry about. Oh, yeah? Okay, have you read the Patriot Act recently, which is one of the biggest misnomers of any law that's ever been passed? Yep, it's, they could just say you're a terrorist, you know? Or that those crops you're growing are marijuana, not kale, you know, and put you in prison without right to counsel or, you know, speedy trial or anything. Yeah, that's the Patriot Act. Didn't you know? Yeah. Just like the President of the United States now has the assumed right to have anybody killed that he wants. Supposedly not in this country. But it could even be a U.S. citizen who supposedly has all the rights of a U.S. citizen, but not according to the Patriot Act and not according to the precedent that was set a while back. So I personally, I don't trust my government to decide whether or not I'm a criminal and punish me without right to for me to make a defense and have a speedy judgment by a jury of my peers and so on and so forth. Okay, I just don't, I'm sorry, I don't trust them. And having the drones up there, ready to blow up a house because they think there's a terrorist there. And, you know, in Afghanistan, they do it a lot. And they don't even call you know, they say if it's a man in the house who hasn't been identified as a terrorist, we're just going to count him as a terrorist, even though it's probably he's innocent and it's collateral damage and we just killed more innocent people. So when you hear about how many terrorists are killed by drones in Afghanistan these days, or Pakistan, because there's still a few flying over there, I understand, it's all, you know, the government's lying to you. I mean, of course, they do that all the time, especially when they're doing wars that nobody wants and for the wrong reasons. So they sound like big, powerful person, big, powerful president. We're doing a war and we're big macho, you know, and there's no purpose behind it. And there's a drain of funds and there's all these innocent people that are dying all the time. And we don't even count them as innocent now just because they're in the vicinity or in the house. Oh, if it's a woman, well, we'd say it was collateral damage. Except, aren't there such a thing as female terrorists? I think there are, but they're counted, if they're not sure, they do count them as innocent. Isn't that sweet? Isn't that sweet? Well, that's the drone report here in the U.S., and I certainly hope there's not any flying above us. The cost, the idiocy of it, the assumption of guilt that kind of activity has is unacceptable for me. Anyway, personal opinion, thank you, Henry Ford Community College, for letting me say it as part of my everyday life. So you should speak to your elected representatives about that in Congress, the U.S. Congress. And you know we got an election coming up. The first part of it, a little teeny one, doesn't involve all the political parties or everybody that's going to be on the ballot in November, but it'll help set some of the names for the November ballot. So you do want to vote on August 7th. And guess what? That's only a week from next Tuesday. Okay? If you're not registered, though, to vote, well, you can't vote because you missed out. You have to register a month in advance. So if you're 21 or older, or is it 18 now? Kevin's my expert. Kevin says 18. I don't have his mic on, but okay. Yeah, if you're
18
right,
and over.
Right. If you can go and serve the military and get killed, then you're worthy of voting before you get killed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. What's 21? Alcohol?
Drinking age, yeah.
Drinking
age. So you can go fight for your country and die for your country, but you can't come home and have a beer to celebrate. Yeah.
But after you're 21, you can booze it up and be as drunk as possible when you go vote. So that's
hopefully
fine.
Not when you
that's
go
the
vote.
American tradition. Yeah, well, hopefully not when you go driving either. But yeah, there's all these ironies in life, and we love to point them out because that's what we do here on the new WHFR Journal, as well as give you some hard news. So let's take a look at some so-called hard news. And we don't want to make it too hard for you to understand, but the Dearborn Press and Guide from last Sunday, it didn't have anything in it other than the Green Alternatives for Daily Living Expo, which we just talked about, that's going to be at Homecoming next Saturday. It's nice to meet Maureen McElrath and Sean Galloway here in the studio. But the Press and Guide from this last Wednesday, the front page story, one of the front page stories talks about Henry Ford Community College, where we are broadcasting from. Our station, WHFR, is licensed to Henry Ford Community College. Our current president, Dr. Gail Mee, has said that she did not want to be reappointed as president again, but she's going to be here as our president until we can choose a new president. That might take a couple months, they point out, just to keep you updated here. We're looking to outside firms, recruitment firms, to come in, and you might think initially, if you don't read the story, that means, other people are going to make decisions for our local community college. No, what they do, they're very organized job hiring people. Companies, I wonder if they're nonprofits, probably not, but they come in, they're like personnel agencies for hire, and they know the players, they do nationwide searches even better than people responding to want ads, and they make phone calls, they sort of beat the bushes a little. Hey, how'd you like to come and work at a different place as president? You know, and then they involve all of the college campus, and we're the kind of college by past history anyway, that likes to have involvement from the entire college community, faculty and staff doing inputs and interviews. And so this will all be organized by one of these companies. Now, the companies haven't been chosen yet, the one that's going to be doing this job search, because I guess they're competing. So I wonder if there's a company that you can hire to choose one of the job search companies. I mean, no, that'd be crazy. No. Because then you had to have a job search for the job search company that helps you find a job search company. So that's got to stop somewhere.
It's like a dog chasing its tail.
I know that Dr. Mee, I think, in front of the board, said she'd be willing to stay at least for the end of the year if needed. And apparently it's needed. And we've interviewed her on the show here, and she's been with us at least 6 years. And I think done a fantastic job to represent the college to the community and to the state legislature. And she got a few buildings built
got us a few grants and all that. That's really good things.
Got a good resume of positive things. And, of course, whenever you do anything to get things moving or anything's changed,
you're going to make some people mad.
Yeah, don't quite like what happened, because some people are stuck in the way things used to be, and they weren't all that great. You know, nostalgia is wonderful, but, you know, the past wasn't all that great if you were actually there and took notes. We always think well of our childhood. Oh, I grew up in the 50s. It was wonderful. Well, I still remember the 50s. I grew up in the 50s, and they weren't so great. Okay, now maybe my brain should have made me change that opinion, but it wasn't that great. It was no Happy Days, certainly. That's TV show that was on the air for a while in the 70s, 80s.
With the Fonz.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, there was no Fonz in my life, certainly, and I'm not sure I was a Richie-type character either, but oh well. Moving on here. Tomorrow in Dearborn, talk about summertime events. Whoops. There's going to be a Telegraph Tomorrow cruise.
Through Dearborn. Part
yeah.
Of, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got caught up in that last year. I didn't even know what was happening. I was like, what is going on?
Well, right.
But it was really neat.
Yeah. Okay. Just an irony, though, this is in Wednesday's Press and Guide. There's information. It's from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. And tomorrow's Telegraph Tomorrow cruise. It's interesting. We can talk about it today, so it really is on Telegraph Tomorrow. But the name of it is the Telegraph Tomorrow cruise. Well, the cartoon on page 7A from last Wednesday's Press and Guide makes fun of it. And the guy there is looking at the ad for the Telegraph Tomorrow cruise and thinking of all the old and modified cars that might be driving up and down Telegraph all day long as part of this. And he's saying, yes, celebrating the best of yesterday. So the title is somewhat ironic. I mean, Telegraph Tomorrow should be all fancy cars that, you know, cars or something.
Yeah.
You know, some sort of futuristic something or other, but probably mostly older cars. But if you wanted to participate in that, there is a way to make a phone call. And I don't know if you have to pay money or just show up and drive your old car.
I guess you just show up and
at
drive
below
in circles
the legal rates. I don't know if you can. You probably shouldn't speed, but anyway.
So with all the traffic, I don't think you can even get near the speed limit.
Yeah, it's 12 hours of old cars on Telegraph between Eureka and Puritan in Dearborn Heights. Eureka and Taylor and Puritan in Dearborn Heights. Puritan is in Redford, somewhere further north on.
Starts back that far?
Well, it doesn't start. It's Eureka Road and Taylor and Telegraph. Eureka and Telegraph. And all the way up to, they say, Puritan, and I'm just barely can quite figure out it's north of the college here. They technically call it Redford Township.
I thought it was Detroit. I thought Puritan was Detroit.
Oh, it is. Okay. Further east.
Oh, okay.
Maybe Telegraph is the dividing line. Yeah. You know?
I remember when I got caught up in that last year, I was wondering, because there was a lot of traffic, and then I saw a lot of lawn chairs on the side of the road. Like, people go there and they like camp out. Not camp, but sit there with picnic baskets and lawn chairs all day, and kind of like a Woodward-type cruise, but on a smaller scale. And then I started seeing all the classic cars around and figured, oh, okay, it must be a cruise.
Okay, next on the agenda, since Kevin has already been talking and his mouth is lubricated now, we promised you this, folks. We would do research. Imagine investigative journalism right here at WHFR Journal. And Kevin, tell us about SADs, the special assessment districts. One is in process of being voted on right now for a special purpose in the Hemlock Pool area. But I raised a question here just off the top of my head. What the heck is this and how does it happen? And you talked to Gary Ivanko apparently at the assessor's office in Dearborn.
Yeah.
So what's the story about a SAD?
Who
can do it?
Basically, anybody can get the ball rolling. And like you said, I did call and talk directly. I called the Dearborn Department of Assessors and talked to Gary Ivanko directly and asked him. And he said that as long as, like in the case of the Hemlock Pools, that district itself has 1,963 properties in it. So the Save Our Pools people were meeting with city council to try to decide the best way to keep that pool open, and they came to an agreement that a SAD was the best route. Now, again, SAD stands for Special Assessment District, and what that is basically it's a tax to fund a community improvement project. It can anything from like parking lots, public roads, city lighting, etc. But the recreation department was the one who actually got it rolling and presented SAD to the city council after the Save Our Pools people got 100 signatures from all the residents in that district. So it takes at least 100 signatures to get the ball rolling. And then there's one of three parts to create it. The one in the Hemlock Pools area, they mailed a ballot out to people on July 13th, giving them 3 weeks to mail it back in, saying whether they're in favor of it or not in favor of it. And with the Hemlock Pool, they have to tear the pool down. They have to build a new clubhouse. So I'm not sure the total cost in that, but the actual cost to each of the 1,963 residents is approximately $60 to $70 per year per household. So they sent out all those ballots. They have to August 3rd to get them back. But when I talked to Gary Ivancheck, Ivanko, you're right. On Monday, I believe it was, he said 1,100 of those have replied. Out of that, 90% were in favor.
Oh,
so
wow.
It seems like there's an overwhelming support for that pool to be refurbished.
And the deadline to return that
is August 3rd, the end
next
of business
Friday.
Day, August 3rd.
Mm-hmm.
So then after
So folks, I'm just saying, if you live in the Hemlock Pool area and you haven't checked your mail recently,
check it.
Look for that ballot. And if you just put it aside or something, you only have until August 3rd to say yay or nay. And don't worry about that bandwagon effect. If you are against it, at least let them know. I mean, say no and get that ballot sent back in. Or I guess you could drop it off probably in person too. But.
Yeah, I would think you can. Mm-hmm. But after that, that's part one. Part two, after that deadline passes, they then again have to mail out a notification of a public hearing at city council to each of those 1,963 residents again. So then after that public hearing where the public can go and, you know, speak their our concern, either pro or cons for it, then after that they will make a decision.
The council has to vote then.
Not the council. They will listen to the public.
Yes.
Their concerns, whether they want to reject it or approve it.
Right.
And then after that, the city council will make a decision whether they want to reject or approve it based on public input at the hearing and based on the ballots that they've collected.
Okay, so the election doesn't make it a done deal. It just brings the issue to the council, who then will allow more people to talk if they want to, one final chance to talk and express your opinion. Because maybe there's an idea out there or an issue that one person has that is so important and other people hadn't thought of it when they were voting.
Exactly.
And then the city council, those people that attend the meeting, that they will vote. I've got an issue coming up about that. So that they will then vote yay or nay on this assessment.
Yeah.
Was very, very interesting. And I'm just suggesting you look into it if you think your neighborhood, and I think that's it's probably based because Dearborn has sort of identified different areas as different neighborhoods, and there's neighborhood associations that I think function in all of them, where the residents can come together as a group, maybe monthly, and get information and raise ideas and then forward them to the city council, a person of their choice, or maybe there's a commission they talk to. And if they get an idea, like they want, certainly in my area, they want a different street lighting.
Yeah, they want to go to like the old antique style or something.
Or more efficient. It's up to the district resident, the historic district in West Dearborn that went to the old, more antique style, and a majority of their people there voted for it, so it happened. That must have been a SAD, really, that happened, a special assessment district that happened that way, even though I don't remember it ever being called that. One of my ex-wives lives in that district. So that was a report I got. And I think Mayor O'Reilly lives in that district. But in my area, I'm in a historic district, too, in East Dearborn, and they actually, I don't remember voting on it, but they actually somehow got money to make every intersection of the streets in our neighborhood to change them from concrete to bricks.
Oh, brick pavers.
I don't know what they are. They look like bricks. And the whole intersection is bricks. Now, it looks kind of cute, I guess, old style or something, but unless they're really good pavers, as you said, rather than old bricks, bricks fall apart with Michigan winter very easily. These have been up for a couple of years, and they seem to be holding up. But also, in Michigan winters, bricks, even pavers, I think they're more slippery. I think your car can put on the brakes and slide right through the whole intersection because it's not the regular traction you get there. So I missed out on the vote if it was a SAD.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure how it came about. Whether the city was just going to, the city has already had to replace some of the streets and some of the sewers and the curbs anyway in that area. So maybe they said, well, we can do it this way or we can do it that way. Kind of the same cost. What do you want? Maybe. And then the neighborhood association voted to do it with the bricks or the pavers or something. All these questions, these big mysteries in the world. But a SAD is possible if you want to get something special for your district. And if Hemlock Pool area residents, maybe it's called the Hemlock Neighborhood too? I don't know.
Yeah, well, I have a boundary that he gave me. Basically, It's Schaefer to the east, mm-hmm. Ford to the south, Warren to the north, and Wyoming to the west. So basically a one-mile block.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But it's something to look into. If you wanted more information, you can either probably contact Gary Vanko or you could contact the clerk's office in general or your city council member if they happen to be returning your phone calls.
Yeah, if you're lucky.
We just had a little bad luck here because of summer vacations and other commitments, getting a few of the council members to come on the journal. But we're still going to keep trying and We'll track them down. At a certain point, we'll have a hit list, and we'll even broadcast it. I'm sure they won't like that. Just most of them are not up for re-election yet, so it won't hurt them for a while. But I don't think it'll hurt them at all, but we'll see.
I won't give up, though.
No, that's the spirit, Kevin. Here's something about the election. I guess this is in the 5 minutes we have remaining for the WHFR Journal today. We're making waves. And we're making them as fast as we can in the last 5 minutes here. I thought it was amazing to me. Well, there's two things that are amazing. One is there was a to-do, and I do mean a to-do, at the Dearborn City Council meeting this last, Tuesday night. And it seems that Syed Deep, famous blogger and editorialist in one of the papers or both the papers, whatever, he was voted down, was not reappointed, for the Dearborn Planning Commission. What did he do wrong? Well, he was not in favor of a Goodwill store in West Dearborn. He felt it should not be visible from Michigan Avenue, lower home values, or increase poor people to be in Dearborn. Well, a lot of poor people are still here. And there was a controversy about that. He was had a right to his opinion. But apparently Ted Tefelsky, the Dearborn City Council president, didn't like the fact that in his blogs, and I don't think I've ever read his blog directly on the internet, he actually was discussing the business of the Planning Commission, blow by blow almost, sort of like inside information while the discussion was still going on. And Tefelsky thought that was inappropriate, whether it would give him an unfair advantage of, getting community support for his opinion when the other planning commissioners were in favor of Goodwill. Anyway, Tefelsky just thought it was inappropriate. So at the end of the meeting, not all the city council members were there, and Suzanne Serini had a health issue and had to leave. And she tried to stay as long as she could, and then she was sort of told there's nothing much else on the agenda of importance. So she left a little bit early, and then this came up along with a number of other issues that everybody thought would be a slam dunk. I mean, it's the mayor and somebody else that puts it on the agenda for the city council. And one of them was the reappointment of Commissioner deep. Okay. Well, apparently because of the rules for pushing all these things together and getting them voted on quickly at the end, they had to have five commissioners vote for it. Well, there's only five commissioners left. And DeFelski, when it came up to reappoint Deep, he felt it was inappropriate what you did with your blog while those negotiations were going on within the committee you were to. So I'm not in favor of your being reappointed. He was the only one that voted no, voted against the reappointment. And of course, as Mayor O'Reilly said in a quote, democracy in action, it didn't happen because they needed five votes and he was the one vote that said no. And the mayor said, well, we're going to appeal it next meeting. Well, it turns out in that situation, it can only be reappealed, according to their rules of the council, if the people that got their way wanted it reconsidered. So the one person, Tefelsky, who got his way, he's the one that has to reintroduce it. The
and
mayor,
he don't want to.
Well, I mean, he still feels probably. He doesn't think that Deep should be there. He has said, and there was a second follow-up story on Dearborn.patch.com, was late yesterday or whatever, where he said, I think he's, you know, extremely qualified and a good community member. I just didn't like what he did on that commission with that blogging during the process of making these discussions going on. I didn't think it was appropriate, and so I voted no. So he probably still believes he shouldn't have done that, and is that enough? Or apparently everybody else, when Syed Deep reappointed, as far as they know, even Suzanne Serini later said, well, if I was there, I would have voted for him to be reappointed. So it's a little bit of a to-do, but democracy in action, and we wish Syed Deep well. Probably he'll now get appointed to some other commission sort of to make up for that, but it's just the way the rules go.
And they're following Robert's Rules of Orders, right? And they needed they to have five for a quorum.
When everything is in some sort of express voting situation, they put all these final little things together as express voting. They needed five votes, and that's it, and they only had five people there. They just expected they would all be passed, and they didn't get five votes for this. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, a little to-do, and the second story is trying to say, Dearborn official, this is not controversial, that, you know, probably are saying, even on the WHFR Journal, Koronek shouldn't bring it up. No, they didn't say that, but I just think it is an interesting twist and turn. Nothing negative probably about anybody, including Syed Deep, really, even though Tefelsky didn't like what he had done with his blog. But you know, he'll probably be on another commission, and he can still blog, but maybe it's not right to go on the internet with everything you do if there's negotiations still going on. I thought it was also interesting, and I can just squeeze this in. We're waiting for Joanne Kurczynska. It's WHFR Dearborn that you're listening to from Henry Ford Community College. Highway 61 will begin in just a few moments. But the Detroit Metro Bar Association, and that's they got together as a committee, 32 attorneys, to evaluate the fitness of each candidate for judicial office based on the candidate's legal ability, trial experience, integrity, honesty, judicial temperament, and reputation. Okay. Well, they have a whole list, and you can read it, and you might say, well, if other attorneys, 32 of them, get together, they must really know who's good because they're lawyers too, right? Well, it's kind of interesting. In the Third Circuit Court, there's a lot of incumbents running for office, but there's also a whole bunch of non-incumbents. So I don't know how many spots are open. Eight, nine, how many do they need for, I guess if you're an incumbent, oh my gosh, it looks like there's 15 incumbents. I guess they're all being reelected or elected. Well, in this Third Circuit Court, we know that Mark Summers, who is currently a judge in the 19th District Court, who's not going to run again, he's decided to go to the Third Circuit Court if he gets elected. And guess what? They said he was not qualified.
Why did they say that?
Well, it's a good question. But I think it's probably that reputation thing because he lost the big judgment case of $1.2 million in two cases, actually, $1.2 million total, because of, well, he didn't lose it, but, you know, the city has to pay.